This is a rare opportunity where you get to dive into my brain and what I think about when I have free time. Yes, we had a holiday weekend, and this was a case that just did not sit well with me. Because in some regard, it's a little bit of closure, but in many regards, I feel like it keeps a lot of open-ended questions that at least I have in my brain. Let's go to Bethany, where a man pleaded guilty last week to sexually abusing girls in the town-run after-school program and summer camp where he had worked. He accepted a deal that he will now have to serve 4 years behind bars with 20 years suspended. I'm talking about 26-year-old Anthony Mastrangelo, who would have faced up to 75 years in prison for counts in 5 separate cases of sexual abuse and risk of injury to a child if he hadn't taken this deal. In addition to the 4 years in incarceration, the agreement includes a lifetime restraining order that bars him from contacting the victims and 10 years of sex offender probation, which is a more restrictive form of probation that requires therapeutic treatment. It says he also will have to register as a sex offender. Okay, so this is where I have an issue, right? So when I talked about this with you last week, after we learned the news, I had said, hey, guys, the story's not over, because my big thing is, hey, we have camps and after-school programming that have license exempts, kind of like the one that that happened here in Bethany. It's pretty common. And, you know, hey, what we should do to kind of close that loophole to make sure that we have mandated reporters, for example, that we do background checks, things of that nature. Right. But there was another part of this that really didn't sit well with me that you and I didn't get to talk about. But poor Gary McNamara got to hear an earful about it over the holiday weekend, which is, and by the way, Gary lives in Bethany. So this is something that's, you know, kind of near and dear to his heart in the sense that it's his community where this took place. He was devastated about it. He also is our law enforcement expert on the show, and he's my sounding board whenever I'm mad about things. And Gary's here now because I do think what came out of this conversation was very helpful. And he gives me insight, and he brings down the temperature sometimes when I'm off the walls a little bit. So Gary, welcome back, first of all.
Thanks for having me back, Melissa. Yes, yeah. This is something we've talked about, and it's good to talk about it on air because it's bothersome to everybody.
Yeah. So what bothered me about this, and I called this weightless consequences. I think that's what I coined the term, weightless consequences. And what I mean by that, Gary, is, okay, so time behind bars, I get how plea deals work. I understand that. That's one thing. But the two things here that bothered me is a lifetime restraining order. That's one, to me, weightless consequence. The other one is that you have to register as a sex offender. Those, to me, are, in my opinion, two weightless consequences that just sound really bad on the surface. But I'm wondering if it really keeps somebody from reoffending or really keeps the public that safe. And so I kind of wanted to dive into that with you. And I guess, I don't know which one you want to start with, the restraining order or the sex offender registry. You choose. They're both great.
So fill me in a little bit, because was it listed that he was going to be on this lifetime restraining order?
According to CT Mirror, in addition to 4 years of incarceration, the agreement includes a lifetime restraining order that bars him from contacting the victims in this case, the 5 victims in this case, and 10 years of sex offender probation, which is like a therapeutic treatment. On top of that, once he is released from prison, he does have to register as a sex offender.
Right. Got it. So, you know, a lifetime. Well, we know restraining orders are, you know, it sounds good. And, you know, it's a step in the process. We talk about a lot with domestic violence and any crime victims when there's a subject that you want to have them stay away from you. Obviously, a restraining order, you know, that just basically allows for another charge down the line if you violate that. But to say you have a lifetime restraining order, I mean, what is that?
Right, really? That's what I'm asking.
You're right, it is.
So what, it's a piece of paper that you can't bother them? Right, but who cares? I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound so callous, but I mean, let's look at when we have domestic violence and people file a restraining order. I mean, does it really block the offender from offending? No, not really. I mean, maybe it scares some, but is it really that effective? Or is it just showing a record that you complained about this person, essentially?
Well, basically, if he tries to contact one of these kids, and if it's a lifetime, it could be in their 40s. This case doesn't have that flavor to it. There are some cases of stalking, and there's some cases where the individual is obsessed with a victim, and so they will continue to call until you kind of separate it for a lifetime of a restraining order. But you're right. I mean, that's basically sounds good, and it's good to have that in place, I guess. But, you know, ultimately, the other conversation people are having is only 4 years in jail. So, you know, that focus, it is the focus more than this lifetime restraining order, because that doesn't, you know, that's just kind of white noise in a lot of these cases.
Well, that's what I think bothered me about this, Gare. I mean, I think that is the part that really infuriated me, because you're right. You know, when you hear 75 years for five separate cases versus 4 years, yeah, totally. I could see, but then they kind of water it down by being like, well, wait a minute. Wait one second here. He's going to be on the sex offender registry. And I think to myself, who cares? Who cares? Yeah. He touched kids and he admitted it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I hate to get this mad, but it really drives me crazy. That it's like, all right, so you're going to do prison time for whatever, a hot minute, if you will, but then you're on a list. How effective is that list? Like, I mean, what is even the weight of having a sex offender registry? Honestly, I'm really asking that from a law enforcement standpoint. What is even the point, other than if you were to look up his name and you find it there, what really is the weight of having a sex offender registry? Like, what really stops him from reoffending? Or what makes kids safe in this regard, just because you're on a sex offender registry?
Well, it's so the sex offender list is a registry, is a resource for the community. So if you want to kind of find out who in your neighborhood potentially, you know, is a sex offender, because we know that people who offend, sexual offenders oftentimes repeat more than others, because obviously they have a lot of different issues. So having the ability to go on, and I encourage everybody to go to the Connecticut State website just to go on and look to find out whether or not, you know, your neighborhood, if there's sex offenders in the neighborhood. That's for the community resources. Now that comes to Halloween, and I know it's kind of hollow, it really is, but that comes to Halloween, it comes to other things where you want to kind of stay away from these houses. And there's some kind of laws about you can't harass people on there. Also for employees, so if you're applying for a job, part of the background will be to find out whether or not you're on whether you're on the registry or not. And then at the same time, so employees, so bus drivers and everything else, you want to make sure whether you're on that sex offender registry. And then law enforcement will use it as well. We had a case, now I'm going back years, but we had a case of a young girl who was accosted. I don't remember whether or not she was sexually assaulted or not. I don't believe so, but she was accosted enough when she was walking home from school. Mm. And we went back and were able to contact others and found out that an individual with a similar pattern in the area was responsible for this crime. So it is a tool. But as far as what it does for them, it sounds good. It's on the list. You're on the list, the registry list. But at the same time, you know, that Fairfield example is a good example of saying they were on the list and they're still going to offend.
Right.
Some of them.
Right. Well, and again, right. Some of them. And again, I know I don't want to blanket it or anything, but I think it is the anger that people have about a plea deal that drastically decreased the amount of years this man will be behind bars after admitting that he did it. I think people should be enraged about it, and not even in the sense that, I mean, this is to me not a fair deal because you're put on a list. Like, okay, so it might be harder for you to get a job, but honestly, after what he committed in the school system and he got fired for, he had no issue getting a job with the camp in the town. I mean, granted, that was thanks to his connections with who was running the town at the time. But again, sure, maybe it's going to be harder to get a job, or maybe, again, there's a piece of paper that's saying, hey, you don't really want to go back to these kids. But again, fine. Those are five victims. Not to mention that there were other kids at that camp who probably witnessed things or probably knew about this. I mean, this became, you know, this became the talk of the town in Bethany for a long time. I mean, there was a lot of noise around this before it was even taken seriously as a case, Gary.
Yeah. No, Melissa, you're absolutely right. That's why this case is so important, because you've talked about it before. You know, we need more laws and stuff. But if you now go back, and people really should go back, and you know, he pled guilty to five counts of fourth degree sexual assault involving children under 13. Now, if you go back in time when people were saying, why wasn't it reported earlier? Why wasn't it investigated quicker? What happened that allowed this to continue to, for so long and potentially get another victim or two? Now you go back and say, this guy stood up and said, I did it. I actually did it. I plead guilty to it. So now we know it's not speculation now when you go back. And now it's even more important to go back and say, why did this take so long? Because they pled guilty to it. So, yeah, I mean, 4 years and you're on this lifetime, you're on this sex offender list and a lifetime restraining order. That's just kind of, fluff to throw it in at the end, saying I got 4 years for pleading guilty to these cases involving children under 13. And by the way, I have this massive lifetime restraining order, holding over my head, which, chances of him ever violating that are small anyway, because his relationship with the kids were all involving the camp. It wasn't like he was in a relationship with them or he knew them and there's this ongoing stalking or problem that's going to occur.
Right. It was situational. He was there. He was working there. The kids were signed up to be there. So, yeah, like I said, weightless consequences, in my humble opinion. We're talking about the Bethany man who pleaded guilty recently to sexually abusing girls in the town-run after-school program and summer camp where he worked. His plea deal means he will serve 4 years behind bars. But he also is, once he's released from prison, going to have to register as a sex offender. He also has a lifetime restraining order barring him from contacting the victims in this case. We're talking to Gary McNamara because he not only is a Bethany resident, he's also our law enforcement expert on the show. And I've been calling these weightless consequences because this idea of a lifetime restraining order, which is really a piece of paper, but also even registering as a sex offender, which sure will probably make it harder for him to get a job, the man that we're talking about here. To me, it just looks like, man, he's got to face all these things versus actually doing the time for the crime, essentially. But to get away from that for a second, Gary, you mentioned something really important, which is that the sex offender registry for the state of Connecticut is openly available to people. You can look it up. I'm actually going to include it with this podcast today. But are people going to really check it? Like, you brought up trick-or-treating. And listen, you know how I am with Chase. Okay, I'm like an eagle. I'm like a hawk. Don't even look at my kid. Okay? But I can tell you I've never looked up the sex offender registry in our neighborhood because I figure I'm walking with him. I'm with him. I've never looked it up. I mean, how much would you say people will really, like, utilize that tool? I don't know. I mean, I guess for a bus driver, like you mentioned, sure. But is that really a tool people will use?
I don't know. I don't know whether they do or not. I've looked it up in the past. In fact, right before we started speaking, I went on to see, in my little area. But no, it's a tool that people can use if they choose to use it. I mean, there are some consequences. It kind of has that data, so you at least are aware of it. But I don't know how often people use it. You know, it's something even when there are bus stops and when your kids are walking, if Chase is walking somewhere, or, my kids, when they were little were walking or riding their bikes, you'd want to kind of keep an eye on the fact that there's somebody that is a sex offender in the neighborhood. That's, I think, the context of why it was designed in the first place. And it certainly, has value somewhere. But to say that is I love your term weightless consequence, because it's true. It's like, listen, how much time am I going to do? And, oh, by the way, you're going to put me on some list. Do I really care? I mean, I have the reputation. You Google it, you'll already know that I've been convicted or I pled guilty to sex offender crimes. But then you're going to put me on a list. That is a weightless consequence. By the way, we're just going to tap on this. But it is a tool if people decide to use it. In Bethany right now, I think there's three or four that are in the area. And again, it goes through. You can't threaten them, harass these people, or put up signs that a sex offender lives in my neighborhood, whatever. But it's a tool that people can utilize if they desire to use it. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it's not useful for people that want to use it just to understand it. But as far as from the offender's perspective, you're going to put me on this list, so what? In a lifetime restraining order, so what? It is kind of a weightless consequence, to your point.
Well, in the era, Gary, of the internet, I mean, all anybody has to do is Google the name. And every news article that accuses you of this is going to come up. So, I mean, the idea of, oh, you're on this list, big deal. We have Google.
Yeah.
I mean, all anybody has to do is Google your name. I mean, that's what they do even just for regular jobs. Google their name. What does their Facebook show, their Instagram, so on and so forth. So I just feel like it's very outdated, this idea of, oh, my gosh, we've got, because I think even the average person thinks a restraining order is like this protective shield. And I just don't think it holds the weight that it does. I feel like we need to really reevaluate what we think are actual consequences to people. I don't mean to sound harsh, but it's just like, to me, how do you tell the families of those five little kids that we're going to knock off 70 years of this guy in prison, but don't worry, he's on a list if you want to look it up. And by the way, there's a piece of paper saying he shouldn't contact your kid ever. So hopefully he follows that. Like, what? That's infuriating. Yeah. I think that's infuriating. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I get it. Especially if you're there or in the community, to your point. I mean, we've had town meetings on this, you know, ongoing town meetings on this when it first occurred. You know, I know we're going to talk more about this because there's so much to dive into. But even the point of consequences and weightless consequences in this particular case, there were weightless consequences when it was first reported as well. So, you know, the whole point of consequences is you don't want to do something wrong because you feel that you're going to be punished for it. And if you look at this entire case, when it first came to light, there was weightless consequences because he was just moved. He was moved from the school to the camp.
Right.
So there was no consequence.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing that we were talking about, which is these ideas of license-exempt camps and programs. Like, I get it. I understand how expensive it is to get licensed. But if people don't even ask the question, are you a license-exempt camp or program? Not to say that they're dangerous. I mean, gosh, there are so many great programs, and we rely on them, right? I mean, one of the reasons that they're license exempt is the fact that they're affordable because, man, camps are insane to pay for, and after school programs. So I get that there's a place for them, but there aren't ways to bypass some of the things that you need to be licensed, like mandated reporting or background checks. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things. That was one of the things that came out in this discussion in the town meeting was because, you know, the regulations and whether or not just because it's a town camp versus some private camp or private services that the regulations are different. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we have to do the best we can regardless.
All right. Well, Gary, I appreciate you, again, always being my sounding board off the air. Poor Gary gets so many calls and text messages, my God. But also then bringing that conversation to the air. And as you mentioned, we are definitely going to have to do a deeper dive into this because this is only one case. But again, I think the idea of weightless consequences, it's worth a bigger conversation. So always appreciate you, Gary McNamara. Thank you so much.